I'm going to share this morning out of that song that we just sung, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, because it's my favourite Christmas carol. And it's just rich and loaded. And so, yeah. It's so by Charles Wesley in 1739. And Oliver said in the car this morning, not knowing about this, that he wanted to know what the word hark was. And I said, well, wait for the first slide. To hark is to listen, to hear. It's not to just hear in the sense of, oh, yeah, I heard someone say that. To hark or to hearken or to hearken is to lean in and to listen in order that you might hear. It's to listen attentively with intent to understand. And this word is used all through the Bible. In the New Testament, the first place I really got onto this word was in Ephesians, where it talks about when you speak the truth in love, it imparts grace to the hearers or to the hearkeners. It imparts grace to the ones who listen attentively with intent to understand. So Jesus says time and time again, be careful how you hear. Right? To he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit's saying to the churches. And so we say, hark, the herald angels sing. And I want us to hearken this morning and listen to what the angels were singing. Good. Let's go. Oh, I'm not clicking, Ursula. Oh, I am clicking. So I'll read the first verse. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise. Join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. And so, peace on earth, glory to the newborn King. And I'll read this scripture, these scriptures from Luke 2, the angel speaking to the shepherds. The angel said to them, do not be afraid. Always the first thing angels say, if you've noticed that. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And so, oh, let me grab my words. So peace on earth. This is what the angel had to say, is that this good news about this King who was born is coming to bring peace on the earth, and it's goodwill towards men. That's the message that gets screamed, actually gets sung out from heaven. And God is so excited about this that there's a whole host of angels appears in the sky and they're singing. It's amazing. You think about that. This is quite the introduction. And I love that it's the humble shepherds who are the ones to whom this message comes. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. So that sounds like good news. That sounds like good tidings. That sounds like peace on earth. Sounds like God's coming to make things right. And reconciled. How can God and sinners be reconciled? How does that work when we've rebelled against God, when we've turned away from God? And, here in 2 Corinthians 5, it says, now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, because God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, So this is why, this is how God and man can be reconciled. Because God put our sin on Jesus and Jesus dealt with it. That we might become the righteousness of God in him, or that we might be made right with God. We had one giant problem, that we were separated from God. We were separated. We were cut off because of sin. And the angels are crying out. There's good tidings of great joy. And God and sinners reconciled. And it's only because of Jesus. Christ, by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased with us in flesh to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. And I'm going to read a passage from Revelation that shows highest heaven adoring him. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And just before this in chapter 4, there's all these elders falling down, laying down their crowns and praising the one who sits on the throne and he who lives forever. And that's Jesus.
It's good.
Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. This is Isaiah, some 750 years before Christ, writes, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel," which is God with us. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is the incarnation. He became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And a few verses later in John chapter 1, it says, "No one has seen God at any time." Just think about that. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him to us. So veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Where do you want to look if you want to see God? You look at Jesus, because he has revealed the Father. He's the revelation of the Father. So this babe lying in the manger, we sing that song and I almost get offended at the lyrics because it's like, "Little Lord Jesus." And it's like, come on, like we know who he is. He's not the little Lord Jesus. But yeah, he was. Whoa. He reduced himself to that. He appeared to the shepherds. He come opposite to what we thought he would. Some believers mocking it. It's a rap song, but that's why. "Hail the heavenly Prince of Peace. Hail the Prince of Peace." This is from Isaiah 9. "He shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness, Light and life to all he brings. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light." Isaiah 60. "Behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples, but the glory of the Lord will arise upon you, and Gentiles will come to your light." Light and life to all he brings. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. We had a huge problem. We were separated from God, and we were blind, but the morning star came. It's good. "Risen with healing in his wings, I'm going to jump into Malachi, which is where that reference comes from. This is the end of Malachi, and he's talking to a rebellious Israel hundreds of years before Christ comes. Behold, the day is coming. It's burning like an oven. And all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And you have to think of the beginning of Luke where Mary talks in her song, the Magnificat, talks about destroying the wisdom of the proud, flipping things upside down. All the proud who do wickedly will be stubble, and the day which is coming will burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. Why? Why no root nor branch? Because the only place we get rooted and grounded is in Christ. It's in God's love for us in Christ. But to you who fear my name, the Son of righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. And this is in Luke 2 also, Zechariah talks about this light that's coming. Let me just dip in there quickly. Jump into Luke 2 if you want to read one out of your Bible. So you know the story of Zechariah, when at Jesus' birth, and he's in the temple and he's burning incense to the Lord, and the angel appears to him, "Do not be afraid." And then he doesn't believe the word of the angel, and so he cannot speak but the word from the angel was that Elizabeth, his wife, was going to come and have a son, even though she was barren and old. And at the time of his birth, when he names him John, this is John the Baptist, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he got his voice back, and he began to speak. And in verse 78 of Luke 1, Zechariah says, "Through the tender mercy of our God, with which the morning star from on high, has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men." How good is that? And so this Son of Righteousness, this morning star, Jesus says in Revelation, "I am the bright morning star." And you know, this prophecy about a king who was coming, who was going to give light, who was going to be the light of the world. Peter looks back in his letter in 2 Peter, and he says that we were with him on the holy mountain. So Peter, James, and John go up on the mountain, and they see Jesus transfigured before them, and his face shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. And they freak out, and Moses and Elijah are there, and then they're not there. We won't go into that too much. But Peter says, we were with him on the holy mountain. We heard the voice from the most excellent glory. There's a dark cloud, and this voice says, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him," or "hear him." And so for Peter, this is no mystery. He says, "We have the prophetic word confirmed." But then he says, "But you do also well to heed it, to listen to the prophetic scriptures speaking of this Messiah who is coming to bring light to the world, to bring peace on the earth." Because he says, "You do well to heed that prophetic word until the day star dawns in your heart." Woo! It's the Son of Righteousness. He dawned in history, but he also wants to dawn in our heart and give us light so we can see, so we can stop groping around in the darkness thinking it's my life and it's my story. So good. Yeah. And so, gone too far. "Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. And you can hear all of those. There's so many scriptures for all of those. You can hear him talking to Nicodemus, talking about you're not going to enter the kingdom. You're not even going to see the kingdom of heaven unless you're born again. Christ will give you light. Born that man no more may die. Mild he lays his glory by. You have to think about Philippians 2, don't you? You have to think about, even though he didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God, yet he made himself of no reputation. And he came in the likeness of men. He didn't come with a face shining like the sun. He didn't come in the full expression of his deity. He came as a man. He came as in a manger, in a stable. You know, the song Joy to the World says, let every heart prepare him room. Because the reality is that there's a world full of people that have no room in their heart for this one who's so lovely, this one who made us. But he laid his glory by. He didn't come shining like the sun. He didn't come riding on a white horse. He didn't come that way. He rode into town on a donkey. The angelic choir appeared to shepherds. We might miss him if we're not careful. It's so good. Okay. Come, desire of nations, come. Fix in us thy humble home. And in Haggai, there's this scripture that talks about all the nations are gathering before the desire of the nations. He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about the new temple. And he says that the glory of the Lord is going to fill the temple. And the glory of the latter house is going to be greater than the glory of the former house. And you know, the world doesn't know it, but what it needs is Jesus. And it's what we need. Our hearts are crying out for him because he's the source of life. And he wants to come and make his home in us. You know, Revelation says, well, he's talking to a church in Revelation, which is not really great in some ways, but he says, I'm at the door knocking. And if anyone hears my voice, if anyone hearkens, they can open up to me and I'll come in and I'll sup with him and he with me. And you know, you hear Jesus in John 14 talking about if you heed my word, then I'm going to come and make my home in your heart. I'm going to come and manifest myself to you. My Father and I are going to come and live inside of you. We want the abiding presence of Jesus in us. Rise the woman's conquering seed, bruise in us the serpent's head. And so we'll dip into Genesis. This is the reference. So the Lord God said to the serpent, this is after the fall. This is after the serpent has tricked Eve and used his cunning and craftiness and deceitful plotting and his scheming and twisted the word of God and asked questions to subvert truth and get her tangled up. And after that, God comes and speaks to him and says, because you've done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. Did you know that Satan's reproducing on the earth? Something to think about. And her seed. Who's that? It's Jesus. It's the conquering seed. Rise the woman's conquering seed and bruise in us the serpent's head. See, because Jesus did bruise the serpent's head. You read about it in Revelation 12, where Satan's cast down and it's given to the saints to overcome by clinging to the word of Jesus and not loving their own life. And that's where we are now. We get to overcome, but because he's already overcome. On the cross, he triumphed and made a public spectacle over Satan. Satan bruised his heel and crucified him, but he rose again and crushed his head. This cry and this song, bruise in us the serpent's head, kind of implies that the victory that Jesus had on the cross wants to be outworked in us. With me? And we'll go more into that in a minute. But it says, now display thy saving power. Ruined nature, now restore. Now in mystic union join, thine to ours and ours to thine. This is an amazing, amazing song. Now display thy saving power. Well, I thought he did on the cross. Well, he did. But what about in you? Are you walking in the power of victory of Christ? Are you overcoming? Or is Satan kicking your butt in some different areas? Because the victory is there for us to overcome. Now display thy saving power. Let's look at this in Ephesians 4. Ruined nature, now restore. If in fact you have really heard him and been taught by him, just as the truth is in Jesus, revealed in his life and personified in him, that regarding your previous way of life, you put off your old self, completely discard your former nature, which is being corrupted through deceitful desires, and be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new self, the regenerated and renewed nature created in God's image. Woo! In the righteousness and holiness of the truth, in a way that expresses to God your gratitude for your salvation. That's the Amplified. So, ruined nature, now restore. There's this idea that we're about to look at in the next verse, that through the fall of man, we don't look like what we were created to look like. And so Charles Wesley, he gets this, and he's saying, come and do this in us. Come and let this victory be outworked in us. And I want to put it to us this morning that this is really the response to Christmas. Do you know what I mean? We can do the family thing. We can do the roast. We can do the trees and the presents. And it's a great time. It's exhausting at times as well. But man, we've got to work out our salvation, or we've set aside the great gift. Because he didn't come just to beam us to heaven someday. He came to put heaven back inside us. He said, the kingdom's here, and it's the Father's good pleasure to give it to you. Okay. A little while longer, the world will see me no more. Jesus talking to his disciples before he goes to the cross. Because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Now in mystic union join, thine to ours and ours to thine. I in you, you in me. And Jesus prays in his prayer in John 17, the Lord's Prayer. He prays that they may be one as we are one. That the world may know that the Father sent the Son. Oh, wow. That the world may know that Christmas is true. How? By us becoming one in him. Pretty cool. Adam's likeness, Lord, efface. Stamp thine image in its place. And you might be thinking, what's Adam's image? What's Adam's likeness? Let's look at Genesis 5. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man. Sorry. The genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them, male and female. It's Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And blessed them and called them mankind in the day that they were created. Listen to him making the point. In the day God created man. When? In the day he created man, he made him in the image and likeness of God. He created them, male and female. That's back in Genesis 1. He created them, male and female, blessed them, called to mankind in the day they were created. See, he's making a point here. In the day, in that day, that's when they were made in the image of God. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness. Whoa. What happened in between? The fall of man? The day you eat the fruit is the day you surely die. So what really died? Because he didn't drop dead. Well, what died was the image and likeness of God. And man, who was made to express the character and nature of God, took on a sinful nature. Because you take the life-giving spirit out of a man and he caves in on himself. All he can do is worship himself. It's only by the Spirit of God that we can live the life that he's called us to live. And it's only by the Spirit of God that we can love. God is love. Love is his character and nature. Love is the expression of who he is. Love is the image of God. Adam begat a son in his own likeness, after his own image. It was a fallen image. It was a sinful image. There's this bit in the Bible where Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and he says, "You are children of your father, the devil." So we talk about we're made in the image of God, and there's a scripture that says, you know, with our tongue we bless God and we curse men who are made in the similitude of God, and these things ought not be so. But I completely and utterly disagree with the idea that everyone on the earth is made in the image of God or is bearing witness to the image of God. In the good purposes and intents of the Father's heart, of course he made us for his image. That's why he made man, to bring him glory, to be filled with his own spirit and life and radiate and express who he is on the earth and multiply that image, multiply love on the earth. But something happened called sin, and the image was squashed, and we were created to express him, and instead we expressed ourselves. We expressed lust. We expressed pride. Me, 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 me. And Jesus wants to sort that out. He wants to bruise in us the serpent's head. He wants to efface Adam's image out of us and put the image of Christ back. So Adam begat a son after his image. But it wasn't meant to be that way. In the day God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Ooh, I'm not clicking. Oh, is that it? Oh. I'll go back to this bit. Second Adam from above is the passage that we read in 1 Corinthians 15. See, Jesus came, he's called the second Adam. That passage we read says the last man, the first man Adam, the last man. That's Christ. He had to come as a man. He had to lay aside his glory. He had to be born in the dirt. He had to come and take on flesh. He had to lay aside the full expression of who he is and humble himself and learn obedience through suffering so that he could be a faithful high priest, so he could help us with our predicament. Second Adam from above, reinstate us in thy love. Do you see how something's missing, something's lost? Charles Wesley gets it. He gets it. Someone gets it. It's love. That's what was lost. It was the expression of God. We became selfish. We became prideful. Let us thee. Who'd we lose? We lost touch with God. And in darkness, men have roamed the earth, building their own kingdoms, living for their own righteousness. Let us thee, though lost, regain thee. The life, the inner man. See, God wants to strengthen us in our inner man from the riches of his glory so that Christ can dwell in our hearts through faith, so that we, along with all the saints, can comprehend the breadth and the depth of his love for us. And so we can begin to become the expression of that love. Oh, to thee, to all thyself impart, formed in each believing heart. So we've got to hark. The herald angels sing. We've got to let these good tidings, let this good news go down in our hearts so deep that it actually brings forth great joy. Because if we don't have the great joy, we just don't have the good tidings. We're not letting the richness of this message dwell in us. We're not letting faith rise up. We're not letting the Spirit of God come and strengthen us and make these things alive and make these things real. He wants to impart himself to us. Because the life that was in Jesus is the light of men. It's his spirit. And he wants to share himself with us. So that's my favorite Christmas carol. That's what I wanted to share this morning. So Well, let's sing, let's worship the Lord.